Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Here's the pitch. Swing, and there's a drive. Sack to right. Back it goes, and that's a walk-off shot. A walk-off shot. Yordan Alvarez has done it with a three-run blast in the bottom of the ninth. And Houston pulls it out 8-7. Holy cow.
Yeah, we can't play that enough today. Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You know how to jump aboard. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to talk about what was a wild early evening at Minute Maid Park, where the Astros down 7-3 late, rallied with two runs in the eighth inning thanks to an Alex Bregman home run and that walk-off shot by Yordan Alvarez to take down the Seattle Mariners in game one of the American League Divisional Series, 8-7. We will play that highlight a lot. I think we also got to play the song, right, Sean Mapes, Behind the Glass? Like, there's no better way to open up the show than with, you know, the essential cocaine edition of the Astros fight song. Why did Scott Service put in Robbie Ray? Really did not make a whole lot of sense. He has sucked all season long, especially against the Astros. There's also those questions that, you know, will never be answered. But I'm still trying to figure that one out with Scott Service. We can fade it out, Sean. Who says it's only a game? Sometimes you forget that it's not really a game with this version of the Houston Astros, what you have been seeing since 2017. And obviously they have only won one World Series along the way, but there is always a feeling of inevitability with this team. And I missed it. I missed it. And I feel bad. I'm not going to lie. I feel bad. I feel bad that the Mariners had lured me away even slightly over the last couple of years. And I know, I was in Seattle. I was getting paid to do a job to cover the Mariners on a daily basis. I did come to like Mariners fans. But yesterday, I'm watching that game. It's early on. Justin Verlander's getting clubbed. Julio Rodriguez is pointing towards the Mariners dugout and acting like they've just won the actual game. And I found myself sitting in a very strange, standing in a very strange spot at Minute Maid Park in the press area, leaning against a wall, pissed, checking my text line with a bunch of ex-Seattle coworkers and realizing, I don't want these people to have this. I don't want them to have this. I want this. This is for me. This is for everyone else here too. But most importantly, me. It's always about me. And in that moment right there, that was when I knew, yeah, I'm back. I'm back on the drug. Because this team, you consistently can believe that they will come back. I couldn't believe that this Yordan Alvarez home run is the first time that a team in postseason history, and at least the Astros tweeted this out, so it must be true, hit a walk-off home run by trailing by more than one run. I couldn't believe that. I also, to be quite honest, couldn't believe that they came back, even though I just said that this is a team that's inevitable. And I feel like that right now, like old Doubting Thomas from the Bible. Nah, Jesus ain't back. And I know, I might be going a little bit too far comparing the Houston Astros to the third coming of God, right, Sean Mabe?
Yeah, no, but you definitely wanted to check Yordan's hands for the stigmatas, right? Left hand or right hand. We still are not entirely sure which hand it was.
Right.
But yeah, you're inspecting his hands and you're like, all right, guess this is him.
Fine. The hands are fine. And look, yeah, the third coming, that's Tom Brady, not the Astros. But the Astros are damn close, you know? Could be a prophet or something like that. This is what you get with, honestly, what might have been Dusty Baker's best managed game. I think we all had a lot of questions about how Dusty Baker would set lineups, and we found out right before game time right here on the Paul Gallant Show who Dusty was going to roll out with his 1-9. I thought he made great decisions over the course of this game. I think that some of the moves he made in the bullpen, I mean, I'll be honest, didn't trust Rafael Montero when he came in the ninth. Yeah, Julio Rodriguez came very close to taking him yard. Kyle Tucker made a nice play. But to have the balls to put in David Hensley as a pinch hitter in that spot, I mean, props. And Hensley, props. I mean, I know we're going to be talking about the Yordan home run, but that Hensley at bat was tense, and that kid hung in there and kept on fouling balls off and eventually gets hit, gets on base, and right there you're like, okay, well, now what's going to happen? You got Jose Altuve up. And that's once again where the plug got pulled out just for a second. I couldn't believe that they struck out Altuve. Couldn't believe that. And you could feel a collective hush. There was a lot of hushing at Minute Maid Park yesterday. There was a lot of, I think, sounding rattled. Were you actually rattled, or were you just, you know, someone who's been there before? I think some people have been there before. But they rally. And Yordan taking Robbie Ray deep. Robbie Ray, who had no business being in that game, Sean.
I was rattled until Robbie. I was rattled during, especially the Hensley and the Pena at bats, where it's like, oh, these are the young guys that are going to have to kind of do this right now. And then once it got to Yordan, I was like, okay, we're still in. I was still thinking like double off the wall and like we're going to extras. And then they brought out Robbie Ray. I was like, oh my God, what's Scott Service doing?
Seriously, I thought they would just walk him. I mean, just walk the guy. What are you doing? 713-780-3776 if you want to jump aboard. We are going to keep it open all day long. We do have Joe Maddon, former Angels Mariner, former Angels manager joining us at 1045, and we'll talk to him about this game and some of his thoughts on it. Let's go to the phones, though. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. We've got Ray. You're up first on the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
Hello. Good morning. I just have one question. First of all, that was a great win. That was, like, excellent. Mm-hmm. But I just have one question. Why in the world did they even pitch to Yordan?
That's really a great question. Ray, I don't think we'll ever figure that out, and I appreciate the phone call. Like, there's no reason to have pitched to him. There was a guy who laid it out on Twitter, and he pointed out that there's not one reason to, first off, pitch to Yordan Alvarez. Second off, to have Robbie Ray pitch to Yordan Alvarez.
And have Robbie Ray give him a 93-mile-per-hour belt-high fastball?
Yes,
Sean. That's probably not what you want to do?
I think all of those things were bad ideas. All of them. And if you're Scott Service, I mean, you have to rebound from this. And that Mariners team has to rebound from this. I really do not know how you do it. 713-780-3776 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can also text in. Let's go to Thomas up next. Thomas, what's up?
What's up, Paul? What about that stat on JV I was telling you about the playoffs?
But you're right.
He's going to recover. He's gonna have to pick up the slack and make it up later on. But I just wanted to see what I mean, you have, you know, your friends and connections in Seattle. What's the vibe in Seattle? Because I would think that's a game-changing, you know, or like momentum-changing. But it's a swing, but it's the first game of the series. So I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it. So the vibes of Seattle right now, it's like a bomb went off in the city. Like they don't know how to handle this. And I was telling them last night on my Twitch show, twitch.tv/Gallant Says. You can also check out the podcast. Ooh, shameless plug. I was telling them, look, this is real playoff baseball. I actually took a video of myself and I sent that to the Seattle group of friends that I'm on a text line with.
Group of former friends.
I don't think they like me anymore. I don't think they were very mad at me. But I was being serious. It's one game. It's not over. And there are concerns when it comes to the Astros going forward, Sean. I mean, as brought up, Justin Verlander has had struggles in the playoffs of late, and in particular early on. But in this game, every single Mariners bat did very well. Are they going to be able to do that again after just the crushing feeling of knowing you had this one in the bag? It was 7-3 late against an Astros offense that, at least compared to years past, is not quite what it has been. And yet, Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, they have you now looking at an 0-1 deficit.
The Mariners are the team, though, that's made the comeback against the Rays. So I do think that they are a fairly mentally tough team.
This is different. This is different. I get what you're saying, Sean. They are definitely mentally tough. This is different. You ask anyone there in Seattle right now, they were like, how dare you send this to us? We've been through so much. I'm like, it's one game.
Also, you haven't been through this, though.
No.
You haven't been through any playoff baseball.
Right. You don't understand how it works. It's not, you know, the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs. It's not one game and it's over. But, you know, you'll come to understand it as the series goes along. To Thomas's point, Justin Verlander did struggle. Why did he struggle the way that he did? We've also got Richard and Jonathan and your texts, your Twitch comments, waiting on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Astros up 1-0 in the ALDS. Don't go anywhere. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Sometimes you'll see me having a little bit of a meltdown. Got a little mad. Had a comment made about, hey, Paul, Monday sounded like you wanted Seattle to win. You must have been listening to the Killer Bees when Joel was slandering my good name, acting like I would want that to happen. Sorry. Hell to the no. I do not want to see a team that I am no longer in win because it's about me and my placement in history. I want to be on the call for the good things, not for the bad. And by the way, remember this. The Astros are 1-0 in World Series when I'm here in Houston. I'm just saying. 0-2 when I am not. Makes you think. Am I a reason for all of this history? You could argue that.
Wait, you weren't here for 19?
No, I had left.
Oh.
No. I moved to Seattle in early October of 2019.
Well, that's what cost them.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Yeah. I was defending the wall up there, too. Oh, they're cheaters. Shut up.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, Paul.
You're welcome, actually. Thanks for thanking me for my service, Sean. I fought the good fight. You know, sometimes you got to do it. We got a couple of comments on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Pinche comments, I still can't believe stations push the Houston is a football town BS. And Fuentes Respector responded, the truth is Houston is whatever is winning. And I don't think there's a problem with that. I mean, jump on a bandwagon. They're corporations at the end of the day. You know, yeah, they're in the same town as you, but like ride or die fanhood, if the team isn't giving you their all. Like,
at a certain point, you're just wasting your time.
Exactly. You're just wasting your time, right. But the Astros, I mean, they've earned our time after sucking for a bunch of years. Hey, look, 2015 on, this has been a damn watchable product. And this is the only team that I've like ever felt good rooting for. And yeah, I'm jumping on the bandwagon. But I'm jumping on the bandwagon because I'm impressed. And you know what? As Shania Twain says, that don't impress me much. Well, there ain't that much that impresses me. 713-780-3776. And one more comment from Mega Blast. I did give Dusty Baker his props for this game. Mega Blast is very fair in saying, woohoo, Dusty was good for one game in a row. I'm surprised he didn't pull Yord on and put in a right-handed batter against Robbie Ray. Hey, he didn't, though. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Richard before we talk about Justin Verlander's struggles. Richard, what's up?
Hey, Bob, I've got two things I want to say. First, about Verlander. Second, why last name's game is proof that baseball is the most beautiful sport. So Verlander, if you remember, Verlander, when he got shelled by Seattle earlier in the year.
Right, May 27th.
Six home runs. It was after that game that he became unstoppable, that he became the Cy Young winning Justin Verlander. So I totally expect he's whatever needs to happen they tugged on Superman's cape last night, and the Verlander we're going to see until the end of the World Series is going to be the guy we knew in the second half of the season. A second point, why last night's game is proof that baseball is the most beautiful sport. It's having your two most professional hitters in the ninth inning. You're down by two runs. Both of those hitters get out. It's having two rookies stand in and nails get themselves on base. It's having a little nine-year-old boy crying on the third base line because the tension, the stress, the emotion is too much for that little boy to handle. And he's standing next to some Seattle Seahawks football fans. They're wearing T-shirts, Seattle Seahawks. And he's crying because he's scared his team's going to lose. He's rooting for it. He saw him come back. He's crying. And it's because Yordan Alvarez steps into the batter's box against their pitcher, and it's mano a mano for all of it, and he does what he did. That's why baseball is the most beautiful sport, and I hope you will come over from the football fandom and embrace baseball as the most beautiful sport.
That was a fantastic call, Richard. I empathize with that nine-year-old kid because that was like 18-year-old me still acting that way for a certain team that plays up in the Northeast.
That was 26-year-old me yesterday watching that game.
Hell yeah, Sean Mapes. I love that. Look, playoff baseball is so much different than regular season baseball, and I will say that the Astros have spoiled me, and I think a lot of people here so much that you kind of want to just fast forward to the playoffs. But I'm glad he brought up the Jeremy Pena at bat. I did not expect Jeremy Pena to get on. I really didn't. And yeah, Jose Altuve striking out, I mean, that did not feel good, especially also when you go a little bit before, and it felt like the Astros had a chance to put together a rally, and I was like, okay, right before the Bregman two-run home run, I thought to myself, yeah, they could maybe get a couple of runs, but are they going to be able to get four? I didn't think so, but I think great points about both David Hensley. That was an awesome at-bat, and Jeremy Pena somehow finding a way to get on. Let's go to Justin Verlander for a moment. Justin Verlander did not have a good night, as pointed out on the phone call by Richard, and he tried to explain what the issue was in a start where, yeah, the Mariners, they got to him, and they got to him early.
A little bit of everything. They had a good approach. You know, there's familiarity here. You know, obviously, you need to make some better pitches, but also got to tip your cap, and they hit some good pitches, and that's the beauty of playoff baseball. You know, we're a team. We're here to win, and we won. So, obviously, I have to do better next time out, but here we are with a game one win, and I couldn't be more happy.
First pitch of the game for Verlander, I think, was a bad sign, because if you watched it, he threw it right down the middle to Julio, and Julio got a piece of it. And he was only throwing 94 mile per hour. And I know you think to yourself, like, I mean, that's pretty fast. But Julio challenged it right away. And then he's thinking to himself afterwards, it felt like Verlander, I think, realized, oh, shoot, I can't really pitch it anywhere near him. So you walk Julio the first at bat. Ty France singles. And Julio, who is such a stud, goes from first to third. And then Cal Raleigh does what he did in that two-game playoff series against Toronto. And I think at that moment, you're just hoping, okay, this is just another first inning issue for Verlander, which we highlighted yesterday. He's had that in the playoffs for a little bit of time. But I hope Richard's right in that he's going to be able to bounce back. But Verlander in the playoffs in 2019 had struggles in multiple games where he didn't look like the guy that we are used to seeing this season. And I mean, if you go up against the New York Yankees team in the ALCS, which I do think is going to happen, the Yankees did win game one of their series against Cleveland 4-1. It was pretty funny to see, it was a Steve Kwan hit the home run off of Garrett Cole, and he's doing the two short dance, which is such a power move. I love it. But I mean, you know, the Cleveland, they can't score any runs. I think they've scored like three runs or something, like four runs in the three playoff games that they've played in thus far, like barely any. Anyway, though, back to this. Dusty Baker was asked about Verlander's struggles as well, and he has a theory as to what actually might have affected not just Justin Verlander, but the entire team.
You know, what was up with Verlander, maybe he was a little rusty. You know, I mean, he was barely missing on a number of pitches. And I think, you know, those days off, I think, hurt our whole team. You know, you see, we didn't wake up until the fifth, sixth inning. And, you know, this is a game of repetition and a game of game action. You can practice all you want to. There's nothing, no substitute for game action. So that's not an excuse, but, you know, I could sort of feel it, and see it.
We did touch on that, too, about how maybe a couple of days off, getting out of a routine the same way that the Mariners had, maybe could get the Astros a bit rusty. I will entertain that argument. I'm glad that Dusty Baker said, look, it sounds like it's making an excuse. It is an excuse. You have to adapt. I thought it might be an issue, but it shouldn't be one. You know, you have to find a way to develop a routine over that long off period. Maybe game action you can't replicate, but you got to do something close to it to keep all of these guys, you know, doing what they need to. Verlander, the struggles, I hope he'll be able to bounce back. I really do. This is going to be really interesting on Thursday for the Mariners because their ability to bounce back, I think, has been helped by the fact that there's a day off between Tuesday and Thursday. I think if there was a game within 24 hours at Minute Maid after what just happened last night, I don't see the Mariners winning. I think that, though, having a day to kind of, you know, decompress, I think that's going to help a young team like Seattle. I don't know if it helps them to the point where they win. Franklin's got a thought, 713-780-3776 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Paul Gallant Show. Franklin, what's up?
Hey, Paul. We got a quick question. I know it's a little forward-thinking, but Joe Esposito is interviewing with the White Sox and the Marlins today. I think Dusty's gone. Either we win or not. Should we be worried that our coach in waiting is looking at other jobs?
I mean, look, that's just the way that this thing goes, and I can understand why Espada is going to try to look to take care of himself. I think you got to wait until this thing plays out. I don't think Dusty's going to be here next year. That's a gut feeling. I feel like if they don't win the World Series, the Astros are going to look at themselves in the mirror and say, well, maybe we need a different manager. And if they do win the World Series, I think he's going to retire. So I do think that this problem will take care of itself. And I'd be pretty surprised if Espada left. I think if you're Espada, you realize the situation you're in, and it might be great to be that coach in waiting. I don't think that there's anybody else that's going to potentially step in front of him, and I don't think Baker's going to be here that much longer.
Yeah, if the Astros make it clear to, or maybe, you know, kind of hint-hint, wink-wink, nudge-nudge deal, it where, like, yeah. Hey, if you line up the Astros job with the Marlins job and the White Sox job, like, it's a no-brainer that you take the Astros. Now, is James Click the one that's having that conversation? Is it Jim Crane? That's where that dynamic gets dicey. But, yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
I have some off-the-air thoughts on James Click. I'm wondering about his future here, though. Anyway, based off of things I'm hearing, if you will, 713-780-3776, let's go to Chase, calling aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Chase, what's up?
Morning, Paul. Much like you, I was talking to some of my Seattle friends last night and this morning, and I was listening to 710 there in Seattle.
Oh, the old station.
And they're saying, you know, the blame for this loss is complicated. No, it's not. You service overmanaged. In ways, I don't know about you guys think, but it reminded me of A.J. Hinch. You bring in Ray to face Alvarez, and it's so weird for me to talk about a big Astros victory and not talking about Jose Altuve. It's got
right.
Like Pena and Bregman and things like that. You know what I mean? So Verlander, I think he's going to watch the tape. I think he's going to make corrections. I expect him to be better if there is a game five and he has to go. And I'm so proud of Pena, man. Both of those guys, Pena and Hensley, imagine being in that moment. That has got to be huge for his confidence.
Oh, no doubt. Confidence going forward has got to be through the roof. And Chase, appreciate the phone call. That's my guy, Chase. I believe Chase and I actually, if you go back in time, we were watching some Astros playoff games together up in Seattle. So that was, I feel like, the coolest moment in this game. We're obviously going to talk about Yordan. We're going to talk about Alex Bregman. We haven't mentioned Yuli Gurriel to this point, and Yuli Gurriel had a bleeping awesome game. And again, going back to Dusty, sticking with Yuli has been one of the best decisions I think that he has made in this lineup, especially given the struggles that Trey Mancini has had, which continued yesterday. All your thoughts on the Astros 8-7 victory over the Seattle Mariners are welcome. We might drift into football, but I don't know if it's feeling that way on today's show. And I feel like, too, when it comes to Yuli, what else are you feeling a lot better about after what you saw in yesterday's game? We'll talk about that next right here. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The pitch coming. Swing and a high fly ball driven deep to left field. This one is way, way back. And that ball's gone into the Crawford boxes by Yuli Gurriel. That'll make it 6-3.
Sound like... excited. Jeez, Dave O'Brien. I saw some comments on the Twitch and on the text line about the national broadcast of the game. I empathize. It does suck not having the local guys this time around. Someone on, is this on the text line, from the 832. What pissed me off is that SportsCenter led their coverage with Yankees groveling. How is the Astros a second story? I'm with you from this perspective. That was by far the best game, right? I mean, dramatic comeback victory with all sorts of storylines along the way with the team that's won five straight American League championships, been to five straight American League championship series. Yeah, that one would frustrate me as well. So the things that went well in yesterday's game, first off, you heard the Yuli Gurriel home run. That was a prime time performance, which we've come to expect from Yuli. He was great in this game. And, you know, having him in that sixth spot in the lineup, that's important. I mean, it's fantastic that they've got this guy. Because if you go a little bit further through the lineup, you have a little less faith at the very bottom of the order. I think on the exact opposite side of things, when you look at Trey Mancini coming up right after him, 0-4, not great, productive at-bats. What do you do going forward there? Do you want to put Mancini in there again? You pinch hit Christian Vasquez, and Vasquez got a hit. Maybe you put Christian Vasquez in for Martin Maldonado. I do think that that's still something that makes little sense to me. Martin Maldonado's the only person that can catch a professional major leaguer. But again, I'm getting too much into the nitty-gritty of the negative. That's kind of the way I go. You do not ignore in victory what you would beat up in defeat, Sean Mapes.
I will say, and this will be the last thing, notice how Justin Verlander performed without his center fielder out there. That's all I'm saying.
Whoa, you are right.
Mauricio Dubon would have been there. Things might have gone a little different.
Can Mauricio Dubon climb walls with some of the balls that were being absolutely smacked off of Verlander? I don't know, but maybe those Mariners hitters, they're not going to swing quite so hard knowing that Mauricio Dubon could.
And it's a comfort thing for Verlander, too, knowing he's got...
his binky.
Yeah, he's got Maldonado in front of him and Dubon behind him. He's invincible.
His whoopee. Yeah, it's fantastic. Alex Bregman, of course, hit that two-run home run in the eighth inning that put the Astros in position to ultimately have the walk-off with Yordan in the ninth. And he said after the game that he thought Dusty Baker did a great job managing.
We know how important 27 outs are, and especially in the postseason, and I thought Dusty did a great job. He managed this game like we were going to win it from the first pitch, and you know, he has the ultimate confidence in every single person on this roster. You saw that today, how many guys were used. And that goes for the team, too. We have confidence in every single person that's on this roster. And, you know, it takes every single person if you want to win in the postseason.
He's right, and it did. And, you know, the guys that I think we're focusing on today, it was a rough start for Jeremy Peña. It really was. And, you know, there was a point where I'm thinking to myself, man, you have Jeremy Peña in the second spot in this lineup. Is that actually the right move? Is that still the right move going forward? I wonder about that one, if there's perhaps some tinkering that goes on before game number two. I don't really know, though, who you would move into the two spot. Would you put Yuli there again? I think Yuli was in the two spot a little bit earlier this year with the way that he started the game off. I mean, you do regularly expect him to make contact with the baseball, and he did have the home run too. Maybe that is an alternative going forward, but I think that, you know, having a guy like Gurriel who's got the playoff experience towards the back of the lineup is important if you're going to be regularly putting out a Chaz McCormick or a Martin Maldonado. You know, you got to have somebody there that's actually been there and done that. David Hensley, I will continue to bring up that at-bat, considering that's his first postseason at-bat. He's coming off of the bench in a pinch-hit situation where, I mean, it's as close to do or die as you are going to get. You know, if there had been two outs, okay, maybe it's a little bit more tricky. But, I mean, you start that inning off with a ground out, and Hensley comes up, and I mean, aren't you thinking to yourself, man, what if we don't even give Jose Altuve an opportunity to potentially tie things up? And then he struck out swinging, and I'm still shocked that Altuve had the lukewarm day that he had. I thought for sure that something would maybe magical happen with him. Yordan, God, I mean, the guy's incredible. Wouldn't you think, like, going up against a lefty, any other pitcher in baseball is feeling great about themselves? And there's a lot of questions about why they put in Robbie Ray. But Yordan Alvarez against lefties this year, he's hitting .321 with a .998 OPS. Like, that's out of control insane. And, I mean, all of the numbers for Yordan in this situation, he steps up to the plate. His splits with runners in scoring position, .314 with a .429 on-base percentage and a .920 OPS. When the count is 0-1, a .408 batting average with a .423 on-base percentage and an .1178 OPS. Why are you pitching to him? What are you doing? And how do you rebound from this if you're the Mariners manager? We actually have someone that's about to join us in a couple of minutes who I feel like would be the best person to ask about what a team should do when they find themselves in a situation like this. Joe Maddon, former Major League manager of the Anaheim Angels, of Los Angeles, of Planet Earth, and of the Tampa Bay Rays as well. He is going to join us next right here. Don't go anywhere. It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The set and a 2-1. Swing at a high fly ball left field. That's deep. Kelnick back, turning around, looking up, and that ball is gone. Home run. Bregman strikes. And the Houston Astros right back in the game. A two-run shot to make it 7-5, Seattle.
Seattle had a two-run lead there. It would not last much longer. The Astros took them down yesterday, of course, 8-7 in Game 1 of the American League Divisional Series. Joining me right now to talk about that and his new book, The Book of Joe, Joe Maddon, a guy who won Manager of the Year in 2008, 2011, and 2015, took the Rays to the World Series in 2008, won the World Series with the Chicago Cubs in 2016. Joe, thanks for joining me, man.
Thanks for asking, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Joe, I got to rip the Band-Aid off on this because the last time we were talking about you on the air was because you had the Mohawk. You're trying to rally the troops. How long did you keep the Mohawk after things went down in L.A.?
Until it grew out. I mean, I was not going to go back to the barber. I kind of liked it, actually. And I'm looking for the appropriate barber back here in Pennsylvania to try to replicate it. It's kind of a nice feel. It's very low maintenance, and it definitely draws some attention at times.
I got to try it at some point in my life. It does sound like you got out of a rather chaotic situation in L.A., and I could imagine, you know, you're taking an eye at a guy like Dusty Baker, one of the old school managers in baseball. It's a weird place that baseball is in, the relationship between managers and general managers. Can you speak on that? I've always found it fascinating that the guys who are there day to day in the clubhouse seem to be this day and age taking orders from those in the front office now.
Well, basically, a lot of the book is about that. It tries to compare and contrast 1980s major league managers to present day. And that's what I'm just trying to do there. I'm not trying to vilify or anything with anyone. I'm just trying to philosophically, and the methods being employed, and I use the word intrusion, is absolutely true. There's just and it really starts with analytics and that word, which is another word for information. It's just the fact that there's so many people involved and there's so much information being accumulated, and at the end of the day, people think that's, or they're given the impression that's why teams win games, and it's not true. People win games because good players win baseball games, and I'll say this, analytics can play a part in regards to getting into your organization, no question, and I think that's the where it really shines. After that, it just becomes a little bit too obtrusive. There's too much. There's too much. You can only hold on to a nugget during the heat of the moment. There are times when you need it, and that would be when you're struggling a little bit. You want to break things down and take a deeper dive? Absolutely. But when you get baseball serving analytics as opposed to analytics serving baseball, and I really believe that's arrived at that point, there's just too many guys in the clubhouse, too many people attempting to make an impact or trying to coach people when coaches really need to be empowered again.
He is Joe Madden, his book, The Book of Joe, coming to a bookstore near you about his time in baseball. What's it like sitting on the couch watching this series? You've obviously gone up with the Los Angeles Angels a couple of times against both the Houston Astros and now the Seattle Mariners. Sitting back there and, of course, seeing the late game decision by Scott Servais to put Robbie Ray, a starting pitcher, in that situation. He's getting crushed for it. Do you feel like the crushing is appropriate?
No, not at all, because that was discussed by them before the game ever began, and that was an organizational decision. See, I mean, Scotty's got to wear it, but everybody was in agreement with doing that before the game began. As a manager, you're there to protect all the time, all the time. That's a part of the job. So when things don't go well, there might have been other influences involved that you, he might have been on board with the decision. I don't know, but you have to protect people. And that's what Scott's doing right now. That was planned well in advance. You have to have Robbie Ray warming up longer than normal because he's a starting pitcher, not a reliever. So that was orchestrated organizationally, not just in the spur of the moment by Scott.
It's not just Robbie Ray coming in, at least for the non-baseball expert like myself, though, Joe. More so, I know Alex Bregman's up next, and he's a damn good hitter, and he already went yard in the inning before. There are some guys where I feel like if I somehow lucked my way into getting a managerial job, I'm not pitching to this guy no matter what, even if it's a lefty-lefty matchup. But the way Yordan's been hitting over the course of the last month, I don't know, don't you intentionally walk him in that spot?
Well, Yordan doesn't care if you're right or left-handed, and actually hits lefties
as well,
if not better. Yeah, so that, I mean, I know that. I live that playing against him. That's just your choice you have to make in the moment. I'll say this. I can't tell you exactly what I've done because I wasn't there in the moment. That's the thing. You know, there's revisionist history all the time, and people claim you would do something in that moment, but you don't know sincerely if you're actually living that moment. It's easier to kind of think that you would from a distance, but you really don't know until you're actually there. And again, for me, that would be a decision you would make before the game began. You decide your dad's not going to beat us. If it gets to this particular juncture, we're going to go to Bregman. I don't care. I mean, and the other part about that is, too, is just the matchup bullpen does not exist with the three-man having to face three hitters. That just doesn't exist right now. So to say Robbie comes in for the lefty and then you come back to a righty, these are the choices you have to make. And when they don't work out, obviously everybody gets upset and wants to criticize, but I know Scott and I know that group, they had that all thought out in advance and they decided to do that. Final point, analytical people don't like intentional walks. Mm. Under that circumstance, it probably would be a little bit different because there's enough runners on base already to win the game, but they don't like when you put somebody on base and then give the other team an opportunity to score an extra one with a home run. It's all the stuff that you have to deal with constantly.
too much for me. That's for damn sure. Joe Madden with us on the HRNP listener line. We're talking about what we saw yesterday. I do want to talk about Dusty Baker and some of the decisions he made, because he made some tough ones. I think that pinch hitting a guy in David Hensley, who has very, very limited regular season experience, let alone any postseason experience, in the ninth inning, that's a really difficult decision. What's the toughest decision that you maybe had to make over the course of your career when it came to putting a guy into the line of fire in a critical moment, having confidence that he could get it done, but still, you're not 100% sure whether or not he's going to be able to execute there?
Well, you could talk about, you're talking about Robbie Ray, David Price coming into the game in the seventh game of the ALCS playoffs against the Red Sox.
Yeah, I remember that. I was a Red Sox fan at the time. That wasn't fun.
David barely had to dip his toe in the major league waters, and he came out and you talked to him before the game, and his eyes were on fire, and you just have to trust it. That's the thing. I mean, you know your personnel. You know who you think would be the best suited in that moment, and you got to figure out who do I think can handle this or not, because it's pretty hot when it gets to that. And, you know, if you want to dive back into Robbie, I guess he's had five relief appearances. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand the difference between relieving and starting is that when you're relieving, you're already walking into the fire. As a starter, you can create your own fire and possibly get out of it. And the other thing was he just went after him with two fastballs, I believe, which I was waiting for the breaking ball right out of his shoot. He probably thought Jordan was also. So there's all kinds of things you could dissect about that. But It's something that had been thought about in advance, and then they went ahead and did it.
Joe Madden with us right now. His book, The Book of Joe, coming to a bookstore near you. Joe, what do you think was the biggest issue for Justin Verlander yesterday?
I missed that part of the game. I swear I was running around because I was doing this stuff, like what we're talking to you right now, literally from
all the interviews,
8 o'clock in the morning yesterday to 6 p.m.
Oh,
and then
damn.
I was cooking dinner. So I missed it.
Oh.
And listen, don't worry about it. He'll be fine the next time out. Who knows? I didn't see it. It looked to me like, I don't know, I've been watching teams come out like this. Were they early count hitting on him? I don't know. When the guy's got a repertoire of pitches and somebody that you don't want to settle in, did they come after him quickly? I don't even know if there's a lot of first pitch swings going on. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it. So I don't have a good response, but trust me, he'll be fine the next time.
Okay, that does make me feel better. And Joe, you got to find somebody to impersonate you on some of these phone calls, to watch some of these baseball games. You're doing this marathon kind of schedule. There's so many games on every single day. You can't miss any playoff baseball. This is the first chance you get to sit back and really enjoy it as a fan.
I fit it in. I've been fitting it in, but I'm just saying I haven't been able to wall the wallet. And right now, when I get done with you, I'm going to go play at least five or six holes on the golf course that I live on. And then I come back and do another one. It's just, I'm in Pennsylvania. The weather actually is presenting an opportunity to play today, and I got to take advantage of it.
Hey, I don't blame you one bit. Okay, Joe, this is my last question for you.
Sure.
I don't know how, as a young player on this Seattle Mariners team, you rebound from this, because obviously you're feeling great. You get on Justin Verlander early on in this game, and as things continue, you keep on putting it to Astros pitching, and then all of a sudden, you lose this game. If you're Scott Servais, what do you tell these guys? You now have an extended day off to sort of sit and wallow in it or potentially try and move on from it, but I think that's a lot easier said than done with the way this game ended.
Honestly, they're professionals. They're baseball players. They play every day. They've lost some tough games in the past. I know this is a playoff game. I get it. And actually the buffer day might help. You could just flush it out and then come back out and play tomorrow. They've had a great year. They know they've come back from some difficult moments, and it's probably exactly what I'd be telling my guys. Just remember when we, early in the season, nobody was counting on us. We were horrible. And then what we did after that, I believe in the power of 24 hours, meaning that you could have the most awful moment in your life, and 24 hours later, you have the chance to have the best one you've ever had. So, lose hard for 30 minutes, win hard for 30 minutes, turn the page and move on. Baseball is kind of like life. It's a daily occurrence, and you don't want to carry yesterday into today, especially if it was negative.
Joe, I really appreciate your time. Make sure you check out Joe Madden's book, The Book of Joe. Have a good one, man, and enjoy the golf.
Thank you, brother.
That is Joe Madden, everybody, on the HRNP listener line. And check out that podcast, the Paul Gallant Show podcast, if you haven't subscribed already. All right, coming up next. Where does that moment rank for all-time Astros moments? I know it wasn't winning the World Series, but, I mean, it's got to be right up there with taking Aroldis Chapman deep, Jose Altuve doing it, and advancing to the World Series. What else even resonates on that level? Because that's, to me, perhaps my favorite moment. Definitely one of the best sports moments I've seen in person in a really long time. 713-780-3776 to jump aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Akilon says on Twitter, or join us on the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at the Circa Resort and Casino. The Wheelhouse and me, we're going to Vegas a little over a week from now for the Houston-Vegas game on October 23rd. We're staying at the Circa Resort and Casino, and we will be there all weekend. So you got to come on out and have some fun with us while you're there. We're going to be watching sports at the largest sports book in Vegas, whether it's in the stadium seating inside that has every single TV and all of the numbers and things to bet on right in front of you, or the pool, which has the biggest TV you are ever going to see, along with a bunch of other ones on a massive wall overlooking that fantastic pool and fantastic views. You want to join us at the Circa Resort and Casino. So make sure that you find a way to get there. Come on. You can go to Circa's website, the Circa Resort and Casino, and use promo code CIRCA975 for a 15% discount to stay at the hotel. CIRCA975 for a 15% discount. Again, at the Circa Resort and Casino. Go to the website, enter the promo code, and hang out with us next weekend.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.